if you would like, to your in your Bibles, to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to look to the Word of God. And I'll be honest, this message, like I said, it came difficult. It wasn't easy. It was a challenge. But finally, God chiseled something out for me, and it's not going to be very popular. It's just not. It's not going to be one that you're going to write home about and say, wow, you really got to go online and you got to check this out. This was so amazing. We're probably not going to have a revival going on. We're probably not going to have flocks of people going forward for salvation. But this is the word that God has given me, and I hope that you are encouraged and challenged nevertheless. Now, I'm not going to be opposed to revival breaking out if people are just, you know, giving their hearts to the Lord today because of what I'm going to share. That's awesome. That would be an awesome miracle. It is every time. But here's the deal. Romans 13, verse 1, we're going to read through verse 8. Here's what it says. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Well, there you go. That's a Holy Spirit moment right there, isn't it? Let's continue. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Well, there you go. You got even the avengers are in the Bible. Isn't that pretty exciting right there? Verse 5, therefore one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Isn't that exciting? I just found out last night that they extended the tax deadline to July something or other. I'm like, what? Why did I pay my taxes so early? It had to go in anyway, right? But here it is. It's saying in the Bible, we're supposed to submit to authorities. We're supposed to submit not only because that will keep us out of trouble, that'll keep us out of jail, that'll keep us from getting tickets written to us, but it'll also be good for our conscience. We will not have to walk around with guilt because we have done something against the law. But here it says that we're also supposed to pay taxes. And it's like, well, we knew that, right? But here it is in black and white. To pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Wow, if that doesn't get you excited right there in your homes, nothing will, right? Well, let's pray and just pray, God, help us through this message, because this is a challenge that we probably didn't expect to come our way, but here it is. Lord God, thank you for your word, and while we look at this passage and we're wondering, what's the big deal? What's the emphasis for? Is this something that's going to spiritually open my eyes? Am I going to find myself stronger in faith because of this word today? Well, Lord, I believe we will. That's why you gave me this challenge. That's why you spoke to my heart. That's why it was so hard in coming, because maybe in my own spirit I wanted to resist this very thought. Not that I'm a lawbreaker, but why talk about it? Lord, I need your help to speak your words. I need your help to understand them completely for my own life. But Lord, we all need your help, that we will hear from you and understand why it's so important in our day and age to honor our authorities, to follow the laws of the land. May we be good witnesses of your love to one another, yes, but also to our world that we live. It doesn't matter if we're in America or if we're some other country across the seas. It's all about following you completely, and that includes the authorities you have instituted above us. And I pray, God, that as we look to your word, we'll be encouraged and strengthened of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, interesting passage of scripture, interesting theme. about honoring authority. And so I couldn't help but read one of my favorite stories for you. And just to kind of lighten the area a little bit, lighten the idea, just a smidget, here is a story about a DEA agent stopping at a ranch in Texas. Now, we could have said it was Montana or any other state, but we're going to say it's Texas. That's how the story's been written. And he's talking to this old rancher, and he told the rancher, "I need to inspect your ranch for illegally grown drugs." And so the rancher says, "Okay, but don't go into that field over there," as he pointed out in that particular location. And the DEA agent verbally explodes. And he says, "Look, mister, I have the authority of the federal government with me." Reaching into his rear pocket, he pulls out, as an arrogant officer, he pulls out this badge. And he proudly displays this badge to the rancher. "See this badge? This badge means I can go wherever I want on any land. No questions asked. No answers given. Do you understand me, old man?" The rancher kindly nods, and he apologized and went about his chores. Moments later, the rancher heard these loud screams. He looks up, and he sees the agent running for his life, being chased by the rancher's bull. With every step, the bull's gaining ground on the officer, and it's likely he's going to, sure enough, get gored before he can reach safety. And the officer's clearly terrified. The old rancher throws down his tools, he runs to the fence as fast as he can, and he yells out at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Your badge! Show him your badge!" Normally, there's lots of people laughing with me. Well, maybe I shouldn't say normally. Sometimes people groan a little bit, but hey, it was worth sharing, right? There's times in our lives where we feel like that rancher. We're like, "Who do you think you are coming into my land, coming onto my properties, telling me what I can do and what you can do?" And yet, we have to resist those urges of defiance. We have to resist those urges of rebellion, because they do have authority in our lives to do certain things. Now, whether you agree with that law or not is irrelevant. There are things that we must follow regardless. I'm sure many of us would like to say, "Let's lower our taxes. Let's not have to pay so much. Let's take less out each paycheck." And that would make us all happy because we'd get more income for our homes. But that's not the law. We have to do what the government tells us we have to do. And so we have to abide by those things, and it's not easy to do that. There are certainly things that cause us to want to resist in our spirit, and yet we know that it is the right thing to do to follow that law. We can talk about all kinds of different laws that there are. You know, one of the most common things that's brought up in this kind of a situation is the speed limits that are around us. What's the speed limit going through town? What's the speed limit on the interstate? What's the speed limit on the back roads? And I still remember one of the greatest arguments and unfortunate battles I had with one of my parents was about a speed limit issue on gravel. What's the rule? And of course, I wanted to abide by the rule, and it was one of those bad days that I wish I could take back and do it all over again. But it happened. We have this tendency to rise up against things that we think are unfair or unjust. And I get that. I understand that. I'm glad I live in a country where we can change those laws. We can elect people into positions of authority that can do the things that we think they should be doing. We can get involved with that. Some countries don't have that luxury. They must abide by it regardless of what their opinions are, because they can't change a thing. It's not something that's popular to talk about, but we're talking about it today anyway. Even though you may not quite grasp this whole message, let me read my introduction completely, because I had something written here. I want to get it just right. The message that God has laid upon my heart this morning could very well be unpopular. Even so, it's likely many have unknowingly been living out the message. Not because they want to follow all laws, but because they love God and He compels them to do so. And I believe that's true. I think many people are actually abiding by things in a gracious manner, regardless of their opinion about that particular thing. And I think we have a great example of that in our government today. Years ago, when President Barack Obama was in his office and he was making decisions that I particularly didn't agree with, I found myself criticizing some of those things that he did or some of the things that he said. And yet, in my heart and in my spirit, I did not dishonor him the best that I could. Now, there might have been those emotional moments where I did get a little bit out of hand with my feelings, but I'm not real big on expressing lots of feelings, so I got it under control for the most part, even when I disagreed. And I think for the most part, the Christians in our nation and across the country, those that are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, while they disagreed with many of the decisions made, they did not hate or dishonor the president because of, I believe, the Holy Spirit who is in us. And I think that's commendable. You can disagree with those that are in a position of authority and yet still honor and respect them in their office. I think that, unfortunately, there are those living today under a new president that are not handling it in that same manner. I see a lot and I hear a lot of hate speech against him as a person, and that breaks my heart. No person of authority should ever be mistreated in that manner. And I don't know where you stand on where the president's positions are and where he makes his decisions and how he handles those things. But I hope that even if you do disagree, that you still honor him as a man. I don't like some of the things he says. I think there's times where he needs to tone it down a little bit. I would love to see more humility. I would love to see those tweets, which I see on TV because I don't tweet myself and I don't follow that stuff. But I would like to see those things be a little bit more respectful from his position. And yet, I honor the man and I honor the president because of his position. And I would never want to say anything to malign his name as an individual or a person. And the same with the former president and any other person of authority. Honor and obey the laws of the land and the authorities who enforce them. Honor. When you get pulled over on the highway and the highway patrol is speaking to you about what just took place that caused him to think he needed to address something with you, how is your honor in that situation? Do you respect him? How about when you see an officer downtown? Do you avoid him or her, or do you speak to them as any other person that you would see with honor and respect and kindness? I want to encourage you with some powerful truths that we can build upon. Number one is Jesus was a good citizen. Jesus himself was a good citizen. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 24 through verse 27. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" And he says, "Yes." Now, what does that yes mean? Well, I think he's meaning to say, yes, he does pay the tax. When he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Now, this is an interesting story. The tax that's being referred to is described in different manners depending on what translation you use. But the bottom line is, it was a temple tax. This was a religious tax. This was not done from Rome. This was not from Caesar. This was specifically through the church. And I guess you could correlate it with how we would respond to a tithe. Do you pay your tithes? Well, Peter would answer, "Well, yes, Jesus pays his tithe." And then he goes in, and then Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, how about this scenario? Does the king collect from his son, or does he collect from others?" And of course, the answer, "Well, others, the son doesn't have to pay that tax." And Jesus is talking about a temple tax, and he's saying, "How about the Father and the Son here? I am God. Do I have to pay taxes to the church, to the temple, since I'm God?" And yet, even though he can legitimize his reason for not doing the temple tax, because he is the king's son, the religious speaking of it, he still paid the tax. He still paid what was due, even though he could probably have justified not doing so. And the interesting thing is there's different descriptions of the tax in the coinage that's used. And the bottom line is it's like 2 denarii for each individual, and then the shekel is worth about 4 denarii. And so when Peter gets the fish later on, he actually is able to pay 2 people's temple tax with that catch on that specific day. So Jesus paid something that he could have justified not doing, and yet he did it willingly. Even though he did it by going fishing, which all the fishermen in the house said, amen, that sounds like a good way to pay tax. Let's go fish. Maybe we'll catch some coin. I'm not going to recommend that, by the way. But anyway, it is something that he did because it was the right thing to do. Back in 1992, when I was getting ready to graduate from college with a degree and also with a license to preach, because I had already gone through the process to become an official minister in the Assemblies of God, I had an opportunity to do something that many others, well, all others did as well in that day. I could have opted out of paying Social Security. And there were all kinds of discussions going on about doing that so that we wouldn't have to pay that extra tax. I mean, after all, they just wasted anyway. It's not really going to be a retirement for us. By the time we get there, it's all going to be gone. Our government's just going to blow it and spend it on toilet lids and other things. So why are we paying for this Social Security thing? And so there are a lot of reasons why we were contemplating as newly graduating licensed preachers to not have to do that tax and save all kinds of money. And yet in my spirit, I could not justify not doing that tax. Because the parameters that we were getting was that we had to have a religious reason for not doing so. I could not stand on my Assembly of God background and on my position as a pastor and say I have a religious reason why I can't pay taxes. And so I said, I'm not gonna step away from it. And I see that similarity to where Jesus could have justified not doing something, but he did it because it was the right thing to do. And I could have justified not doing it myself, and yet I did it, not because I wanted to save the money or spend more money towards the government, because I really didn't want to, but because in my spirit, I couldn't do it. For me, it was not the right thing to do. And so to this day, I still pay the taxes that everyone else pays. Matthew 22 speaks to another issue about Jesus being a good citizen and doing what is right. Matthew 22, verse 15 through verse 22. The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. They've already decided they got to kill Jesus. They got to come up with a way to put him in prison or jail so that they can get him and then kill him. So they're trying to manipulate things. Verse 16, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. They're the state. They're representing government. We've already dealt with the temple. Now let's deal with the government side of things. And they say, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully." They could have put in there, "You pay the temple tax. And you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" See, now we're talking about a different tax. We're talking about a different payment. We're dealing with religious stuff before, but now we're going to get him. Now we're going to put him in his corner, and he's going to get in trouble by the state. He'll be in trouble by the Romans. And so Jesus, aware of their malice, says, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" The word hypocrite here means actor. You're just acting out. You don't really believe those things in your heart. Verse 19, "Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." And then he said these famous lines, Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they marveled, and they left him and went away. They thought they had him this time. I mean, yeah, sure, of course he's going to be faithful to the temple. But if he's really the Messiah, he's going to overthrow this government. He's going to be the one that rules and reigns with the iron scepter. So if he thinks he's a Messiah, let's trick him. Let's get him to reveal his hand that he's really going to rebel and rise up against this terrible government that's oppressing us. And Jesus just blew them away by declaring that he also supports the tax of the government of which he lives. Jesus fulfilled the law of God completely and lived under the authority of the government in which he lived. And there's more proof to that as well if you want to look at Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 13. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." Verse 18 says, "But they all cried out together, 'Away with this man and release to us Barabbas.'" Now, some of the manuscripts actually include a statement about Barabbas or about the release of a prisoner once a year. So they're wanting Barabbas. He's a real rebel. He's going to rise up against the Romans. He's the one that really fights for our cause. We want him instead. Verse 19, "A man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection, a rebellion, started in the city and for murder." Well, that's the kind of Christ they want. They want some that rises up against Rome, rises up against these soldiers and these tax collectors, these people that only oppress and weigh us down. So they sought Barabbas instead. But Pilate addressed them once more in verse 20, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he would be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. Incredible. One of the Gospels actually says that he washed his hands of it before the people. Why would he do this? What's interesting? You see, Pilate was not a good man. Matter of fact, he's known as a butcher, a murderer of women and children. He was a terrible man when you look at the history of what he did. So many people misjudge him and think, wow, he's a man of honor. He didn't want to kill Jesus. He looked at this man and saw no guilt, so he just like, you know what? I don't want to kill you. You're guiltless, or you're not guilty. But the honest truth is he was a terrible man. He killed a lot of people that were innocent. Why would he let Jesus go? Why would he want to? Well, the reality is his greatest desire as a governor was to maintain peace. And if he lets things get out of control, if this Jesus who's innocent dies, that's coming back on me, is Pilate's thoughts. I have to deal with this. I have to then speak to Caesar about this. I have to be accountable for this, and I don't want trouble with him. I like where I'm at. I like my position. There's no way I'm going to mess this. I'm not going to rock that boat. So let's let this guy go. But they refused to accept his plea of trying to maintain peace. And so he realized and recognized the only way I can keep peace in this city today is to kill this man. But I don't want to be guilty of it. He washes his hands. Hey, this isn't on me, guys. Whatever happens after this is on you. He made the public statement, and history was written. Jesus was not guilty of any sin. He was not guilty of any law-breaking of any kind. Even under Pilate, who was not a good man, he was an evil person in so many ways, he even showed honor and respect to that man as he stood before him on the day of his crucifixion. How are you at handling those who are in authority over you? How is your temperament when you speak about it on Facebook? Ouch. Are you honoring? Are you respectful? Do you follow the laws that are before you? You should follow them. Don't be one that gripes and complains constantly about every little thing. Accept what it is. Deal with it. And move on. There are so many things... excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Apologize for that. there are so many things that I could say about these restrictions we're living in right now. I have a lot of opinions about what we should or shouldn't be doing. Honestly, I do. I'm beginning to be more concerned each day that some of what's been happening is overkill. It's a little bit overreach. It's going too far. And yet, here we are living in the reality of the restrictions, and we're doing our best to follow the guidelines of our governor and our president. Why? Because we want to honor and respect the authorities who are over us. You can disagree with them, as sometimes I do, but you can still honor them by following the laws that are before you. And so here we are today, doing our best to honor God and honor those who are in positions of authority as well. Romans chapter 12. We understand and know that Jesus was a good citizen, and here's the challenge for us. As much as it is possible, keep the peace. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Do you make that challenge in your life? Do you live in such a way that you are going to make peace with all as far as it depends on you? How you handle situations in life of personal relationships is really where we mostly focus this passage. We look at relations between husbands and wives, children and parents. We look at relations of those that are within the church through the leadership and the congregation. We look at those relations in the neighborhood. How do you treat your neighbor? Do you treat them with love and respect? And yet we don't often get to the point of how do you deal with the game warden when he's checking your license to make sure you're not breaking the law? How do you handle that? How do you show honor and respect in that situation? It ought to be the same. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with him. Live at peace with her. Live at peace with your governor. Live at peace with your president. And yet, in this day and age, it seems like all we want to do is disrespect and question. And I think it grieves the heart of God. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Verse 1 and verse 2. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Everything I just shared from Romans chapter 12 is reflected in a very concise way in Titus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Submitting to the authorities of the land. Like I shared early on, before I really got started, this message will not be very popular. It may not cause a revival of people flocking to the altars for salvation. But I hope it wakes up every believer and gets your eyes open to the reality of respect and honor in every situation, including those things of which you may disagree. You want to reach this world with the love of Jesus Christ and yet show disrespect for authority, that's going to be a problem. Let's bring it down to a different level. Let's talk to the young people that are listening. How are you in responding to your teacher in the classroom? Oh, by the way, your teacher right now is your mom or your dad. You better show them respect. But I'm talking about the classroom. When you get back to the regular school setting, I hope that your principal is shown honor and respect. He's going to bring authority into that room. He's going to bring authority into that class, into that school. And yet, if you disrespect and murmur and complain, you're not doing the will of God. If you don't like the way the coach is coaching, if you don't like the way the refs are calling fouls, hey, we're all guilty. We have a lot we could say about those situations. And yet, here's the deal. That referee needs to be shown honor and respect, even if he does it the way you wouldn't have done it or you think he could have done better. I hope that hits home for you, because if you want him to know Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to share your faith with him one day, and he looks at you and says, aren't you the guy from the crowd that was just totally out of control, calling me all kinds of names? And you're talking to me about the love of God? Seriously? First Peter, chapter 2, verse 12 through verse 17. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Another word for emperor here is translated king. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, I think most people in the churches today are doing pretty good at the fear God part. We're trying to walk that path of righteousness. We're working through our sanctification, becoming more like Jesus every day. But let me ask you, how are you doing in following the laws of the land with honor and respect? When you disagree with something that's just been decided and it's going to affect you, it's going to influence you, how are you doing in that area? Because God's will for you is to honor. His will for you is to show respect. Because one day you're going to have a chance to share your faith with someone, and they're going to know how you really are in your depth of hearts if you are going to be maligning and doing things that are disrespectful to those that are in positions of authority. Cheating the system. Don't be guilty of that. Have an awesome witness with all people. Even if they want to come at you and say how terrible you are, let your actions and your words and the things that you've said and done be those things that cause them to change their heart and their mind, because they see love from you and they see respect and honor from you. You ought to be the best employee that your boss has within the company. You ought to be the best person involved in any kind of job that you've ever done. You ought to be the best one that goes to the elevator selling that grain. You ought to be the one that everybody wants to be friends with, because you show honor and respect and love. And you're going to always continue to do so, no matter how much you may disagree with someone. Now, some might say, you know, that's good preaching, Pastor, but there are times where we have to disobey the government. that we can't follow every law. And I will agree with you that there are times. But they are so rare that they're hardly worth mentioning. Unless you live in some other country, as an American, you have so much privilege. I can't see there would be too many laws that would be absolutely against the laws of God here in our own country. Now, that could come. In some ways, the handwriting seems to be on the wall that there would be those things that come up that would cause us to say, you know what, I can't do that. If I were to be told I can't preach freely and faithfully according to the Word of God anymore, I'm going to break that law, and I'll probably have to go to jail and maybe serve time in prison because I have to preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's the deal. In this country, it's still legal for me to preach. I don't have to break any law of this land to do so. Acts chapter 5 is a passage that you might be interested in if you want to make the argument for those occurrences that could come up. But like I said, at least for Americans, it's very, very rare that we would ever have a situation arise that causes us to break the law of man in order to be faithful to the law of God. But this is one occurrence that we can recognize and at least read it for your enjoyment. It says, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them. Now realize this is not a state law that they're being told to stop doing something. This is a religious law from those that are over them religiously. Verse 28, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed, by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. They were told, you can't preach Jesus anymore. You cannot preach in his name. And yet they could not stop because this was the gospel. This was absolutely necessary, and they followed God's law rather than the law of these men. Now, they were certainly affected by their rebellion. They spent time in jail, and some people died. As a matter of fact, 10 of the apostles died, or I should say the disciples. 10 of them died martyred death. They were executed because of their fulfilling of God's law when it went against man. So here we are, honoring authority, doing our best as far as we are able to keep the peace among all people, which includes those things which influence us from an authoritarian perspective. The laws of the land, the officers that enforce them, the governors, the presidents. Jesus was a good citizen. He never got in trouble by the law. As much as it is possible for you and I, we need to keep the peace. And the final point, which I'm just going to breeze right through, is the church ought to be the best of all citizens. We ought to be the best of the best. Be careful of the slippery slope. What slippery slope, you might ask? Well, let me just explain. Complaining about certain rules and regulations and laws is where it starts. I can ask these questions. Don't answer them out loud. Someone in the room with you might already know the answer. But let me ask you this. How are you about speeding on the highways and the interstate? Now, honestly, I have an advantage over some because I am so not wanting to spend more money on gas that I don't want to go too fast because it just burns up more and it costs me more money. So I have an unfair advantage of basically being cheap. So that helps. But there are opportunities to go faster than the speed limit has allowed. And you can maybe justify it because you're late. And you go 80 instead of 75, or 85 instead of 80. I can't imagine why anybody needs to go that fast, honestly, unless they're high schoolers just trying to have some fun. But hey, don't do that. But when you know there's no cops around, how are you on those back highways? That's the slippery slope I'm speaking of. Because it can get out of hand. How about hunting and fishing? Do you follow the laws with the best of your ability? Do you see certain rules as silly, therefore you don't have to follow those? It's a slippery slope. You find yourself in a position of rebellion. And I encourage you to be above reproach. The authorities in our government have been instituted by God. When President Barack Obama was the president of our country for those 8 years, I know it's hard to comprehend this truth for so many, but here's the reality. God put him there for a purpose. Now, you can argue about the elections and how all that transpires, and yeah, you can look at what man is doing, but ultimately, if you believe the word of God is true, then you have to believe that this was all ordained by God. Our sovereign Father who is in heaven has it under control. The same is true for our president today, President Trump. He's serving God's purpose by being in that position of authority in our country today. Every different congressman and every person that's fulfilling those positions of authority are there because of the will of God. If you want to understand that more deeply, read the Old Testament and see how God used good kings and evil kings for his good pleasure and his will. You may not agree with what they're doing, but don't say that it's not God that put them there, because it is. He is sovereign and he's in control. Sometimes we find ourselves in places where we are being punished because of our lack of faith, and sometimes we find ourselves in places where we are being blessed because of our great faith. But let's honor and respect our authorities, no matter where our opinions lie on certain matters. I challenge you that when it's all said and done, you will show honor. Wow. Never preached a message like this one. I didn't expect it to come out with as much passion as it did. But I do believe when we show disrespect, it breaks the heart of God. So let's do all that we can with the help of the Holy Spirit to love one another, to live in our countries, wherever we're at, respecting the authorities that are above us, and doing our best to live at peace with all men. Because one day we'll have an opportunity to share our faith, and our honor that goes before us will do a whole lot to pave the way for their hearts to turn to Christ. A whole lot more than our dishonor would ever do. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the challenge. Thank you for speaking to our hearts and our minds. And it's certainly not always easy to follow certain laws. I think of the restrictions we have because of a virus going on. And there's a lot of opinions out there right now about how things could be done different. But Lord, we're living under the authority of decisions that have been made. And we're going to do our best to honor through it all. And I just pray, God, that you'll give us a heart for people. So that as we are faithful, as we work together for your good, because we love you, we will have opportunities in our world to make an impact because of the goodness of the hearts we have towards others. It's your righteousness, not our own. And your Holy Spirit that leads the way. May we submit to you in all that we do in these areas of our lives. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless.